Welcome to the Legacy Homeschool Reflections Podcast. I'm your host, Ruth Adams. I'm a homeschool graduate and am now homeschooling my own 7 children and carrying this legacy of faith, home discipleship, and home education into the next generation. I cannot believe that as I am recording this today, that the calendar is about to turn over into August. It seems to me this year has just flown by. Well, I like to start each Legacy Homeschool Reflections podcast with a scripture verse. So today I am going to read Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old, consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you, your elders, and they will teach you. Deuteronomy 32, 7. As I record this, our family is gearing up to attend the Bible Family Conference in Washington, D.C. In preparation for the conference, I have been reading extra history to my children during our morning circle time. We have been reading through The Light and the Glory for Children. That's a book that I remember having on the shelves when I was a girl, and that's by Peter Marshall and David Manuel, a very interesting look at God's providential hand through history and the founding of our nation, as well as we've been reading Taking the Whole World for Jesus, a wonderful book put out by Generations and Master Books, and I love the concept of this book because it's putting Jesus Christ in the spotlight instead of making George Washington or Napoleon or Abraham Lincoln or whoever in the spotlight. The book is looking at how Jesus Christ affected all of history and how his gospel has transformed civilization. So that's a wonderful book. And we're also having fun just pulling out old historical picture books. And my girls are going through their doll clothes and picking out colonial dresses for their dolls to wear on the trip. So we're all excited about history right now and about the upcoming trip and just trying to put our mind and our thoughts on history and what God has done in our nation as we prepare for the trip. And my husband and I are very excited about this. I went on a trip similar to this with my parents and my brother when I was a teenager, and just the classic historical American history trip. We went and saw many of the big places like George Washington's home and Thomas Jefferson's home, and we saw Washington, D.C., and many of those famous sites. And so now my husband and I are going to try to fit in as many of those things with our children. We are definitely looking forward to going to Colonial Williamsburg. But my husband and I really believe that there is value and great benefit in studying history, whether that be world history, American history, church history, homeschool history, whatever the history, we have lessons that can be gleaned from the past. And so we are really excited about this trip, and we just believe that history is really His story. It's the story of God's providential hand through the centuries, through all of the various things that have gone on in history, both, our American history and world history. We can see so much of God's hand when we look for it as we study history with our children, and it just boosts our faith and our sovereign God, our sovereign Lord, and how He is fulfilling His plan from beginning to end, and the end hasn't happened yet. And here we are on this timeline in history, and God has ordained that we would be at this point in history for such a time as this. And this is something that we are seeking to have our children to understand and to be excited about, that God has a plan for their lives at this time in history. As I'm looking ahead towards this trip and planning for it and thinking through things in my mind, I thought, well, why don't I come on here and do a podcast about family vacations, family road trips, and just the logistics that are involved with that, because our family loves to travel. We love to see history. We love to go to places like the Creation Museum and the Ark and do things that are going to teach our children along the way as we travel and we see various sites and we create memories together. And yet, large family traveling is not easy, to put it mildly. There are all kinds of frustrations that can mount along the way, and unplanned for inconveniences, and just struggles to even get the family on the road. And then things happen, people get sick, and you know, through it all, we still very much love to travel because we've seen so much benefit through our travels. And there are some things that we have learned can help make the traveling easier, although we have to just be prepared and know that man charts his course, but the outcome is with the Lord, and sometimes things don't go as we planned. And so remembering that He is sovereign and He works all things for our good, even those things that are disappointing along the way. But I'm going to share some things that I typically have available in the van for my children on long road trips across the country. One thing would just be coloring books and activity books, sticker books, things like that. And then travel games. Sometimes they'll play games like who can find the most different license plates from different states, or find a license plate from every state, things like that. Audiobooks have been good. I love to play audiobooks that are going to strengthen our faith and encourage us in our walk with the Lord. Stories of great Christians are wonderful to play on these long road trips. Books on audio, it's a great way of getting in some books that we want our family to hear. Read aloud. Sometimes I will just maybe sit not in the very front of the van, but sort of in the towards the front on the next row back, and I'll read really loud as I can raise my voice to be heard in our large van, and read through a book or read through a devotional material with the children. And then taking advantage of rest stops has been good. Some rest stops are really nice along the way. Some of them have playgrounds, some of them have beautiful big trees and maybe hilly, and the children may like to run up and down the hills. I know we had a vacation where we were going to Ohio last month, and we ended up having a neat little family photo session at one of the rest stops because it had beautiful trees, large mature trees, and we had some neat pictures of the children by the trees and just running up and down the hills. And so sometimes your legs get so stiff riding in the vehicle, and it's just wonderful to let the children out for a few minutes and get all those wiggles out, and then everybody feels better to settle back down and go down the road for several more hours. And meals, that's always a big deal when the family is traveling. Sometimes, if I can get it together, we like to pack lunch for the first day because we're at our house and we can pack a cooler. So we've tended to pack things like lunch meat and chips and fruit and things like that, where we can find a park or a rest stop on our first day. And just, it's really kind of nice to get out of the stuffy environment of the van and to be able to pull over and get some fresh air. And so sometimes we'll do that for the first day. Sometimes, and I think we need to do it more, sometimes we have allowed an older child to share a meal at a restaurant with a younger child. We love to go to Cracker Barrel on family road trips. And so sometimes we've allowed an older child to order an adult meal and then had a toddler just share off of that adult meal. And it's been plenty to feed both of them. And I really think that we need to think in our family about doing that more, pairing up an older child with a younger child, and that might save us some money. Also, you could consider maybe skipping a meal just because the meals get so expensive, especially if you have a large family. So you might have snack food for lunch, fruit and crackers and cheese, peanut butter, things like that. Which really, a lot of times when we're on the road, we stop at a Walmart for this or that, and everyone can go to the bathroom, and those kinds of things could be picked up, and you could have those things for lunch. Last road trip that we took last month, we had a plastic box in the car that we kept chips and pretzels, those sorts of snack foods. So you could even start out with some of those things and they don't perish. So if you're able to pick up some fruit and have some chips and some crackers and things like that, maybe some cheese, things like that, you could just sort of get by for lunch and then have the nourishing meal for dinner. Or vice versa, you could have the big meal for lunch and then snack for dinner. But that's one way to think about saving some money. And honestly, when we're on long road trips and we have to stop to have meals three times a day, or, well, I guess what I'm saying is even in the hotel, we have breakfast and then we have to stop for lunch and then we have to stop for dinner. And it's just a big deal to take the family in a public eating place and get everyone fed or order. It's just a big ordeal. And when you do that day after day, it's very expensive and I get very tired of it. It's kind of like, oh, do we have to go in and eat and do this again? Normally getting to go out to eat is a fun thing, but it can get really old when you've got such a large crowd to navigate. It's just a big ordeal and too much of anything gets old. And so maybe having more snack foods and kind of limiting one big enjoyable meal per day might be a great idea to save money and just make things easier and get farther along down the road, that sort of thing. One thing that we did on our last vacation that worked really well one night is I just ordered pizza and had it delivered to our hotel room. And then the hotel had an outdoor area just with some small picnic tables and a little bit of grass the children could run and play in. And that actually worked really well. It was just one of those nights that I thought, oh, I don't feel like us having to get back in the van and drive to a restaurant. And so it was really nice to just have the pizza come to the hotel room and walk everyone outside and enjoy the evening. That worked really well. I have also considered taking my Instant Pot into a hotel room and maybe having some things like barbecue chicken shredded up like for sandwiches, maybe have that frozen and be able to take it out and cook it in the hotel room at night. Something like that is I haven't tried it yet, but I've thought about it. Some things, chili or soup that could be frozen, and we could start out the trip with a cooler and keep those things frozen until we want to cook them in the Instant Pot. And I just love my Instant Pot, and it can cook things that are frozen very quickly. And so that's another, as our family has grown and as we're traveling more and more, I'm trying to learn how to feed my large family on the road. And that's something I have not tried yet, but it is on the radar. I am thinking about it. Well, moving on from meals, I want to talk now about the topic of having family unity as we travel on these road trips. I recently stayed overnight at a hotel out of state. I had gone to pick up my oldest daughter who attended a music camp, and I had one night in the hotel, and as I was leaving the hotel the next morning and going to my rental car, I observed a family that was having a lot of discord, a lot of anger and frustration in their family, and it really saddened me because it appeared that they were on vacation seeking to have a good time together, but they were allowing anger and lashing out at one another to really ruin the family vacation time. And so I just want to talk about, I know that as we travel, there's so many stresses that can arise and so many tensions. People are tired. Little ones are off of their nap schedule. Oftentimes, we're rolling into hotel rooms late at night, and it can be hard for families, especially large families that are cooped up in a van with a lot of people for many, many hours in a day, and then trying to have sleeping arrangements for so many people and eating arrangements for so many people. It can bring on fatigue and stress, and if we're not very careful, we can begin to get irritable and cranky with one another. And so I just want to talk about some things to kind of combat that tension and that irritability that can build up in families. One is just to really prioritize being in the Word of God as a family every day, even when on the road. Sometimes that we get on a road trip, and it can be easy to just be traveling and not having much time in the evenings and all, but we have found it really makes a difference if we prioritize to be in the Word of God, even if that means mommy sitting towards the back with the children and reading God's Word while daddy's driving the van. Sometimes we get to the hotel room early enough in the evening that we can do family Bible time in the hotel room, and that's great. Oftentimes we are in such a rush in the mornings in the hotel that we're rushing out, we're trying to get all our stuff out, and then oftentimes we also are just rolling in very late in the evening as well into the hotels, and so we can't always do our family worship time in the hotel, but sometimes that works out. And it's really a great thing just to tune up attitudes and have everyone talking together, maybe going over a character quality such as patience that we all need to be reminded about. Also, just praying together and being prayerful on the trip and just constantly going back to prayer. And as we see things along the way, just praying for people and praying for one another. Maybe we meet people and we pray for them, but just having a prayerful trip and then singing together. Sometimes I really like to sing with my children when I travel with them, whether it's just me and a daughter or several daughters, or if it's our whole family. I really like to end our travel day, if we can, with singing, because it has a way of renewing our minds and tuning up our hearts and uniting us and putting our focus on the Lord. And so sometimes we're tired, sometimes we really don't feel like singing, but if we can just offer up that sacrifice of praise to the Lord at every opportunity, sometimes little ones will be getting cranky in the van and we will just stop and start singing, and that oftentimes will really change the atmosphere in the van and help the little ones to have more cheerful hearts. And so those things, we want to remain unified on our family vacations. We want to fight against irritability, and it has to be intentional, because we're tired and because we're all pressed against one another in tight spaces. And even in the hotel rooms, we're all trying to share bathrooms and share bedrooms. And so I think it takes extra intentionality to make God's Word a priority, to maybe memorize some scripture verses together on the trip, to talk about how we're doing with our attitudes and the way we're treating one another, to be prayerful, and to continue to sing to the Lord as we travel along the way. Now, one thing that has helped us is when we need to stop for the night, we always have to get two hotel rooms to be able to sleep, all of us. And we have found that it's helpful if we make it very clear to our children who's going to be sleeping where and with who and which room. And if we can arrange our luggage so that the right things get in the right rooms, that helps greatly too. That can be very tricky, but I try in my packing to think, what nights are we going to be stopping and where, and who's going to be sleeping in which room, and try to pack the bags accordingly. We have some travel bunk beds that were given to us, and they have really been helpful. I don't love having my children sleep on the dirty hotel room floors, and these travel bunks are easy to put up and put down, and they go in these little travel bags that zip up, and they have just been really helpful. We've had them now for a few trips, and I don't even remember what the brand name is, but if you were to Google travel bunk beds, they would probably come up. And as much traveling as we find ourselves doing these days, they have been very helpful. I think also just we really try to talk to our children about remembering that as we travel along our way, we have the opportunity to make the gospel attractive to other people as they witness our family. And we know this is true because we've had so many people make comments about our family that we know people are watching. I guess when you have 7 children and there's 9 of you filing into a restaurant or a hotel, you can't help but be noticed. And sometimes that doesn't feel good. We you know, look like a mess after we've been in the van all day and we're tired. And sometimes I wish we could just be hidden and not be noticed, but we have been noticed. And even I remember one time we were in Cracker Barrel and someone had been observing us and they paid to have dessert delivered to our table, which was the sweetest thing and the most encouraging thing. We were so humbled by that, but we know that people are noticing and we want to reflect the Lord well. When we sit down at a restaurant and we pray for our food, and we don't want to go from praying for our food to having, you know, squabbles or something at the table. And so we try to remind our children that people are watching, and this is an opportunity for us to be salt and light, for us to be the sweet aroma of Christ. And families in our culture are so split apart and so, oh well, they're hurting. Many, many families are hurting and are divided. And when we can walk in and display harmony and love and Christ-likeness, it shows hope that people can see that there's hope through Jesus, that we can be sanctified and conformed to His image, and that families can move along and cooperate with one another and enjoy one another. And so we just want to make the gospel attractive as people witness our family. And so we talk to our children before leaving on a trip just to remember that people are watching and we want to reflect the Lord well. Well, there's so much more that could be covered on this topic of traveling with the family, large or not so large. It doesn't matter. I mean, definitely with a large family, there's more logistically to it. But travel is difficult for even small families. And so I hope that there have been some helpful encouragements in this podcast. I really appreciate you listening. And I invite you to check out my book, Legacy Reflections of a Homeschooling Mama, where I share the story of growing up in the pioneer vintage days of the homeschooling movement and the things the Lord has taught me through the decades and what He is teaching me now. I still have so much to learn, and what He's teaching me now is I'm homeschooling my own 7 children. So that book, Legacy Reflections of a Homeschooling Mama, is available at Amazon. It's also available at Grace and Truth Books and at SonyEliseChristianBooks.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you until we meet again. Goodbye.